All right, I think we're live. Hey guys, hey everyone, welcome to Game Week 27 and episode 26 of the All About FPL podcast. So we are back, probably I am back, I should say, after quite a few weeks. So good to be back, and good to be back after a catastrophic FPL and a footballing week, I should say. I think Sankalp is all smiles to take a dig at myself and Aditya on that. So yeah, so let's dive into it. So this is going to be our agenda for the episode. Pretty much the talking points are we're going to reflect on what's going to happen on what happened on 26 game week 26 wildcard. What if you're wildcarding this week? That's game week 27. Then of course the most talked about Brighton midfielders debate.
What if you're
Yeah.
wildcarding?
Yeah, and I heard a bit of it. Yeah, it's gone now. So captaincies, Q&A, and our bus teams. So I believe in within our team, I think myself, Aditya, and Srini was the ones who played wildcard. I think we couldn't have asked for a disastrous start. This is probably the worst wildcard I've played. So Aditya, what about you? How much did you end up?
So I think I kind of ended up closer on, I think, 51 odd points. Pretty much a template team has at least scored at least 50 odd points. So it is
Right.
not something that's different. But overall, if you ask me, am I disappointed on the score? No, it's fine. I mean, all of us played wildcard for a reason. It's not like you're following a crowd because he's doing or a bunch of people are doing, I'm going to do it. No. At the end of the day, you need to pick and choose and decide and understand whether it makes sense for you. And if it does, and if it did, you press the wildcard button, you made the squad, you're happy with the players you picked in. At the end, it's just 1 week, the results didn't go. It's fine, it's not wrong. We obviously weighed in both the pros and cons of it. And the biggest, not the biggest con, but kind of worrying fact was that if Liverpool, get those points, particularly those players, if they go big, not go big or perform. That did happen, unfortunately. So bulk of us got rid of triple or at least double Liverpool out. And I think that is the only negative effect of the wild card. Other than that, I think pretty much we are well settled for the next few weeks. Obviously, those who didn't wild card will be having those extra points of just the level prices, but obviously they will look to keep them and do the other sideways move that we have. So I'm not pretty much bothered about it at this point.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the primary reason why I wanted to have this particular slide and a quick chat about this is there was so much of talk, how Twitter kind of swayed people away, or the content creators kind of manipulated or made people pull their wild cards and stuff. So I don't think that's the case. I mean, see, content creators are there, Twitter crowd is always there. But if you see the numbers, only 28% of the top 10K played their wild card last week. Only 4% of the overall game played, game week 20. So it's still a very small pool of people. So content creators might have an effect on your decision making, week in, week out, or in a way, how you consume content that matters. You take the extracts, and you pick and choose what is best for your team. So no one can, come and log into your account and make you play your wild card and stuff. So that kind of a portrayal is, I felt that was bad. So everything, as Aditya mentioned, it was team dependent. It has always been team dependent. For me, I had crap load of players. That's the reason I pulled the wild card. It is a disappointing start for me for 40 points. That's the team you see on screen is mine. So I ended up having 40 points. But the challenge here is no one expected Liverpool to go mad, or rather I should say United to perform that bad. Salah's XG for that particular game was 0.57. He ended up scoring two goals, two assists, and probably the season best score for him, 21 or 22 points. Same goes with Saka. He pretty much was the top most popular captain in the top 10K and probably the second best captain overall after Allen. He had a much better XG than Salah. It is just, you know, unfortunate string of things happening in one single game week. The score you see on my screen, the wildcard score, is typically what I would have got if I had stuck with the same team previously, just from three players, Salah, Darwin, and Trent. Literally, they scored 40 points. So you cannot equate, you know, we can speak of hindsight, but that's not really the case how things work. So that's the kind of extract I would say. Aditya rightly mentioned, you know, your team is set for the next couple of weeks. You are well settled for 27. You are well settled for 28 to navigate the blank. So I think take a look at it for the long term. So don't be worried about what happened in game week 26. Sankalp, anything on this?
Yeah, I am a happy non-wildcarder. not very happy because I could not capitalize it. I had Nunes, I had Trent, but I managed to bench Gakpo, you know, Hakpo. I benched him and that really hurt me a lot. I played Grealish instead. But overall, you know, when it comes to wildcard, right, generally, whenever I have played a wildcard, I've never seen a great first week result. Right, first week has always been dicey for me. Primarily because when you play a wildcard, right, you look at next 3-4 weeks fixtures, right? You plan a bit and that's how you attack it. And so the first week generally is a week that I go lighter on and I focus a bit more on the next, you know, 2-3-4 fixtures. And that's why I was a bit surprised at the kind of reaction that people gave, you know, like, hey, world came to an end, my season ended because of this. It's just 10-15 points here and there, right? And at the end of the day, you set the entire reasoning behind going for a wild card, as Srini was mentioning last time we had a pod, was how easy it makes for you to navigate all these blanks and doubles and blanks, right? So suddenly we have, you know, this team, this week we have double coming up for two teams, for four teams. Then again, we have blanks for the same teams. And again, you have doubles, right? So it's very difficult to navigate. I am now in that position where I'll have to take hits every week to navigate it. And you want to make things easier for yourself, and you have made that easier, right? The risk was always there. Even last time in pod, we talked about the risk. We did not talk about Liverpool. We talked about whether, you know, March, Mitoma, Tony are the guys who you can depend on for a wildcard. And that is yet to come, right? So whether a wildcard is successful or not is what we'll know over the next 2 weeks, in fact. Right? It can very well be a disaster and much more bigger in nature. So please be mentally a bit prepared for it. But at the same time, it can be a very, very strong, you know, differentiator for your team. It can help you, you know, take away that anxiety of navigating through X number of complexities, right? None of us are mathematicians. We are not using tools to, you know, make our transfer decisions. We are making it based on our gut and looking at the fixture calendar. Wildcard was the best way to do it. So logically, I still feel it was a good call. Right. I did not do it primarily because of emotional reasons. I felt, hey, you know, if I do a wildcard, this is the team that I'm going to make because this is the most logical team to make. Right. I changed maximum one or two players here and there, you know, just to stand out. But on top of that, I cannot do anything. I'm sure I'll go with 9 first, you know, team players, same as you guys. And that's the reason I didn't do it, because generally when I play my wildcard, I like to, you know, keep 5 to 6 differences, 4 or 5, say, right, for that, you know, as an attempt to gain ranks, basically, right? And that possibility was less. That, for me, was the only con of this wildcard, and that still remains, right? We, again, like I said, next 2 through 3 weeks is what we'll see, whether it's good or bad, but do not, you know, overreact. Do not think, you know, this is going to end your season. I definitely don't think so. Even if you mess up, even if this turns out of, you know, bad wildcard, generally what I've seen is when people save the wildcards and they go in late, right, they also mess it up. So wait for other people to make their mistakes while you continue to make better decisions, at least in the coming weeks.
Yep, true. All right, that kind of plays a good segue into the next segment. So this, once again, there's a lot of chit-chat about why not wildcard in game week 27. Instead, you know, people wanted to take one more weeks of information and then, you know, look into a draft where we can settle in for a wildcard team, probably go with Haaland or without Haaland. That's the sort of chat that we are seeing upon. So what is your take on this, Sankalp or Aditya? I've made two drafts here, more or less similar, but the main difference is going to be, So the main difference is going to be one with Haaland and one the other one without Haaland. Primarily a couple of changes alone in that. So anything you want to take on this one? I think both of you are on mute. So let me begin it so that you guys can chime in. So for me, my original plan was to wildcard in 27. I saw the opportunity of game week 26 wildcard just because that gave me to go early, take the dead wood out of my team and stuff. So if you given a choice, as Sankalp mentioned, I would still do the same, or I might arrive at the same similar kind of a setup. So in this draft that I made here, so you get us 6 double game week players for 27, and Areola probably is the ideal second choice, at least according to me. There are a couple of other options that you have out there. The main reason I picked Areola is he has a pretty good double game week in 29. Where most likely you tend to or leaning towards playing your bench boost, that could come in handy. There are two home games for him, so that could be really interesting. And the other aspect is whether to stick with Haaland or not. Haaland is going to be the bigger decision that you want to take on this particular wildcard. Haaland has Crystal Palace this week, however, he's blanking next week and then. Plays against Liverpool in 29 without a double. So those kind of decisions, kind of put me into this sort of a setup with Haaland, and this could be, without Haaland, where you can take advantage of Watkins, go a little early, make use of the fixture that he has in 28, and then he has a pretty good or a decent double in 29. And that sort of a take. So is there any major changes or tweaks that you both would, if you are playing your wildcard, or let's say Sankalp, you still have your wildcard. So would you go ahead in case, if you want to pull, or would your draft be something similar to this?
Yeah. Currently, I'm not planning to wildcard, right? Because the reason for me remains same, right? It's the same set of fixtures, the same set of players. I don't want to attack, and I want to have a bit of fun because I think my rank is somewhere around 900k. So the reason has been, it's shifted. Right? I want to have fun. 29 looks like a good week for free hitting. Right? When we were talking very early on, this was a mud thing in my mind, and I stuck to it that, I can free hit that week. But if I'm going for a wildcard, I think this looks like a very good team. I sold Haaland last week, actually. I went for Tony instead of Haaland last week itself because of the way I think opposition teams are now playing Haaland, right? Has changed. I was just going through his stats over the last couple of weeks, since post-World Cup, in fact. The number of touches inside the box has reduced like by 50% for him, pre-World Cup numbers, right? While he's still giving points, I think he's still giving a healthy 5.5 to 6 points per match, right? Most of us have started looking as alternate options for captaincy, right? And if I'm not captaining Haaland, I feel that it's a good enough reason for me to start looking at alternate players who I can play instead of Haaland. And like you said, this week they are playing Palace away. I feel Palace is a good team at home, physically strong team. The defenders are very strong in the air. They will again, crowd out those central areas. They'll crowd out Haaland. And I feel that maybe I will get away this week, right, with maybe an assist like last match or maybe one goal. I don't think it will be a hat-trick kind of a week. Fingers crossed, of course. And then there's a plank. And then again, they play Liverpool at home. I feel Van Dijk is a player, goalkeeper, defender who will definitely take care of Haaland. So 3 weeks are there, out of which you can go for teams which has two forward, two doubles, right? I think the upside is too high. Not for you not to try, especially on a wild card, right? Like I said, wildcard is a chip that for me is the best chip of them all. Right? It gives you the maximum ceiling or maximum potential to change things for your team. Right. And if you really want to do that and you want to do it using a wildcard, I think it's a very good time for you to take that risk, right? Go for a player with five fixtures against Haaland's two, right?
Right.
And then even if you miss out, I don't think you'll miss out by a lot, right? You just have to go with the correct set of players. And this draft looks good for me. Watkins is a player on form. Tony obviously has two doubles. Kane continues to trickle along. And I think the reason you also have Kane is, you know, when in 38 or 31st game week, when you want to go back to Haaland, he's the guy, right? You don't need a lot of money. You just want to put in another couple of million, another 1 million, and you can move out, right? So that's right. One of the reasons that you can go with a player like Kane, right? So this looks like a good fixture. The only thing that I might change now, right? So, for example, now you have Kane primarily because you want to keep that money in the forward slot. I would maybe, looking at the form, I would go with Salah, right? And for me, if you have Salah, right, the transition from Salah to Haaland is two transfers. That's all, right? So I would attack this game week, go with Salah, right? Find an alternate guy for Salah next week, right? And then transition out to Haaland in a couple of weeks' time, right? I would rather go for a player like Brennan Johnson, someone like that. Because while Kane, I know, gives you points, right? He's just trickling along. That's a major problem. And I've been a Kane owner for strong part of the season, right? I've captained him like 4 or 5 times by now when people have gone Haaland. And most of the times he has outshone Haaland, but by 2 points, by 3 points. So he's not giving you those high double-digit, returns. And that's one of the reasons that, again, if you're on a wild card, I would say go a bit punty. There are not a lot of people with Salah, right? People who have sold Salah are not going to get Salah back because it's not easy to do that. And you are on a wild card, right? You can plan that out. So if you're there on a wild card, I would definitely go, you know, play Salah. In fact, if you can even bench him next week, right? Because you would love to play him in game week 29 as a double. Right? It's a rare time in FPL where you have Salah as a differential. He has like 30% ownership, right? Perhaps one of the best differences you can have when he's on form.
27% ownership. Right.
So that's the only change I would do.
Yeah, the only reason I probably in this particular draft I didn't go near Salah is that, yes, the hype around the United result and the way he dominated, his performance was really good and all that. But the fixtures are not appealing to me, you know. Of course, 27, it's Bournemouth away. It's still a pretty tasty fixture. He could come out with a haul and stuff with current form or the momentum around Liverpool probably coming after such a great win. But 28 blank, 29 double is not that easy on paper. It is City and Chelsea. Again, 30, it is Arsenal at home. So on paper, at least, these are a bit tricky fixtures. It could go either way. So that's the only reason, you know, for me to stick around with Kane. And the other reason, as you rightly mentioned, Kane to Haaland is a pretty easy move whenever is required. You can do that jump, a sideways move so quickly. And Kane is also there for another reason, like in an odd game week when you don't have Haaland, he's a decent captaincy options as well. You know, if there is no other options in and around in your team, probably Saka could be the second. Because we have filled our teams with Brighton midfielders and stuff. So that's another reasoning for having Kane along.
Yeah, I think the best reason is perhaps next week if you're looking to captain Kane, right, then you need to have it, right? 28, he comes out as a good, strong, option. But if you're someone who's captaining, say, someone like Saka, then you can still get away, right? So if you're, I think it's a good time for you to make that decision now. Are you looking to captain Kane next week? If yes, then have him this week. If not, then things may, you know, become easier for you to even go for a without Kane draft.
Right. All right. So I think that's pretty much about the wild card. Quickly on the fixture ticker, anything that you guys want to add, look into. I think this is pretty much, we talked about it. You guys talked about it in the last week as well. You know, focus on the Brentford Villa or Brighton players this week and next week so that they have Villa and Brentford particularly, they have options playing in blank as well as doubles to be followed. Leicester and Chelsea are another potentially good team. The reason I went early for Maddison is to cover that. Unfortunately, he didn't, you know, come out with what was expected. So that's about the fixture ticker. Yeah, anything you want to reference out of this, please make sure to pause or take a look at it. You know, make your plannings accordingly. But that's pretty much about your wildcard and planning. Let's
one thing I would like to add, you know, before we move, is Chelsea.
Sure.
Right. Now, I think, right, we touched upon Chelsea a bit in the last week's pod. But obviously, it was a bit premature, right? People did not believe that, hey, there's a possibility of going for Chelsea players. They're just not playing well. Confidence is not there. But now they have two back-to-back wins, right? One in Premier League, one in Champions League. Chilwell is looking like a really strong asset now. He's playing very well in the attacking nature. And Potter has moved to a 3-4-3 system, right? Chelsea players are much more, you know, used to this system, right? Because they played in that system with Tuchel, right? And that system really favors someone like Chilwell, right? So I think if you are looking for differentials and on a wildcard, you should definitely look for differentials. These Chelsea players start looking stronger are looking much more attractive to me as a differentiator, right? I saw Kai Havertz being discussed very heavily now by Chelsea fans. I have not seen the Champions League match, to be honest, so I'm not going to recommend him. But if you're doing your research, right, Joao Felix has been playing well, right? At least one or two players, I think it makes sense for us to move, primarily because the fixtures are such, right? They play Leeds at home last week. Now they play Leicester away, which I expect is going to be a high-scoring week. Then they have Everton at home. Then they have a double home fixture, right? Aston Villa and Liverpool. Again, Liverpool might not be easy fixture, but I think both the fixtures will be a good scoring one, right? So if you're going for attacking fullback or if you're going for forward, and again, that one slot, right? If you're taking out a Haaland or Kane, who is the player that you go for? You can look for teams like Chelsea, which are normally dependable teams, and now they're reverting back to their favorite formation. You never know. Something you can strike gold with such decisions.
Oh, yeah. Very much possible. I even saw, cheaper options like Fofana in the mix of discussion. That could be a good enabler in case, you know, you want to the cheapest way possible to enter Chelsea defense. He's been like... two and a half games probably he has started and played. So Fofana could also be a good mix. But if you want a nailed-on option, probably Chilwell is a good option at this current juncture from a defensive point. But of course, Havertz, I read somewhere that he is still retaining the penalties with him. So that's another added advantage for Kai Havertz. In case, you know, if someone is looking to downgrade from a likes of Haaland, Kai Havertz or Joao Felix are pretty decent options. Right. Let's jump on to the meat of the content here. The Brighton midfielders.
Yeah. We keep debating this, right? We keep discussing this part almost every 2-3 weeks now, right? March, Mitoma, McAllister, the three M's. If they did not have a blank next week, I think we would have gone with all three and just closed the debate. But now you have to choose, right? So there are two things that we wanted to share. One is an overall picture under De Zerbi, how they have been playing under their new coach, right? So thanks to Chris Glover, who shared the stats yesterday. Right. So if you look at March, Mitoma and McAllister, right, just look at the XG 90 or non-penalty XG, right? March has been doing fairly well, right? 0.23 XG and 0.3 XA. So 0.5, around 0.454 XG plus XA, which is really strong, right? So over a double game week, you would really want to have a player like that. If you look at Mitoma, he's picked up a lot after the World Cup, but overall, he's still at a 0.44 XG plus XA plus, per 90. This is again a good record to have, right? But if you look at McAllister, he always had a similar, inherent statistic, a metric very close to Mitoma. He still was around 0.43 and I'm ignoring the penalty stats, right? He still was around, you know, very close to Mitoma. But the moment he has now moved to a number 10 role, his metrics have shot up like crazy. Right? If you look at his non-penalty XG, now it's 0.77 per 90. And his XA is 0.3. He retains, at, you know, creating chances as well as, you know, getting into goal-scoring positions. Totally, he's now getting into a position where he's almost likely to score or assist one goal per 90, right? And this is really, really strong because if you look at, I'm just giving three other, you know, strong midfielders of the season, right? Rashford, Odegaard and Saka. These three are the midfielders who have done really well for us this season. If you look at Odegaard, he has a XA plus XG of close to 0.6, you know, 0.59. If you look at Rashford, he has really strong XG, 0.54. And XA of 0.11. So it's a total of 0.65 and it's very similar for Saka 0.65. If you look, compare McAllister XG with Rashford, I think that gives you a very clear picture, right? Rashford is getting into opportunities to score of 0.54 XG, right? While McAllister is getting into opportunities 0.77. And I'm completely taking out the factor of penalty. I'm just not looking at penalty because you never know whether he gets penalty or not, right? So this factor is something which is now started playing in people's mind. If you had asked me 2 weeks back, it's very simple for me. Match of Mitoma. Just go there and close it. Now I see more and more, you know, reasoning, more and more logic why you can go for McAllister. Again, he's not my first choice. Because of the price rises, I've already done a Mitoma move. Now I have to select the second midfielder. I'm still more or less going to go with March. I'm trying to play conventional there. But I'm just saying that, you know, if you look at his heat map, if you look at his score, you know, metrics, and the fact that he's now in confidence, not a bad move at all. Not a bad move at all.
Right. So Aditya has been relatively quiet. So anything you want to add, Aditya, on Brighton?
I mean, I think for me, McAllister would be one option that definitely will go. Now that we are kind of certain that he's not going to play behind based on his performance last week. So I think numbers-wise, purely, you will go with McAllister and March. But one thing that always plays on to any manager who's been playing this game, at least this season or for years, you look at, obviously, how many FPL points the player has got, and you'll kind of have that subconscious faith in him that he has scored points in few weeks and all, he has hauled. Maybe he is the one I need to go because he will get me points. That's what generally you will think, right? So based on that, I think you'll go with Mitoma and McAllister. So just you're going to play permutations and combinations just to pick the right option. At the end of the day, nobody knows who are the two best options, right? All three might blank. All three may haul.
Yeah.
It's like a maths problem. We don't know. So, or you think that this Brighton have a double game week in the month of March. Okay, so I'll go with March. Do something stupid like that if you want. I mean, it's
there was something floating around last week that March has never scored in March. Whether he's going to break that jinx or not.
That's like the Kane August curse. And
exactly, that brought me back the Kane August thing.
I mean, just go with any two who you like at this point. I mean, it's very difficult. I mean, McAllister is someone you go for just solely. Obviously, one thing that backs him is because of the pens. And the other, you pick any of the someone from the two. That's it. You go for it. I mean, there's no force with data and all you can show. We can speak for minutes and hours. But we, at the end of the day, we'll not come to a conclusion. It's who you want to go, you go for. I mean, I went with Mitoma in March. Because I felt that McAllister might play behind and all. Some stupid assumption of mine. But it's fine. Mitoma got me points. I benched March, so I did the right thing eventually. So you win some, you lose some.
I went only with March and I benched him. So fair enough. At least I didn't have that sort of pain.
This is something we will not get a concrete answer for. So.
True that. All right, I think it's a fair conclusion that, you know, pick two out of three or pick three, you know, if you have that luxury, pick three, you can you know, be at peace. At least you don't have the headache to you know, look who's going to score, who's not going to score and stuff. Yeah, I mean, the numbers are out there, so it's your choice pretty much. All right, so let's jump into the next section, which is the captaincy for game week 27. So I just pulled some very basic data here, defensive stats, you know, for the last four game weeks. The reason I pulled these is I'm going to look into the defensive stats of the teams that Brighton and Brentford face, and Brighton and Brentford themselves in their attacking stats in the next slide. So if we take a look into this, in terms of the total shots on target, Southampton has the least conceded total number of shots. They have conceded only 9, but they are still leaking a lot of overall shots. But their on target shots, they have kept it pretty decent. So Southampton are you know, gelling as a unit. Somehow they're sneaking in 1-0 victories here and there, and you know, they're not conceding much, to be honest. In the last four game weeks, at least, they have the joint least, you know, with Crystal Palace here. And same goes with Everton. We know what sort of a manager, you know, Sean Dyche is, and how defensively solid he could keep an unit. So that kind of, you know, pursues me into captaining a Brighton midfielder on the sake of, you know, a safer side, going to a safer side. They have a home game as well. Leeds have been conceding relatively much higher in terms of on-target shots in the last four game weeks. Same goes with Crystal Palace. So based on purely on these basic numbers, for me, the consideration is captaining a Brighton midfielder, you know. And same goes with for the attacking numbers as well. Brighton are relatively, you know, a better attacking team when compared to Brentford, at least in the last four game weeks. The total number of attempts, the minutes per chances that they create, 4.9 minutes per chance. The number of shots on target, that's almost 50% high when compared to Brentford on the wall. And if you have, you know, the appetite to risk, or if you have two midfielders, Brighton midfielders, you really want to take that you know, bet on one of those guys. It's pretty you know, obvious choice for me to have a Brighton midfielder as a captain this week. Anything to add, Sankar? There's a couple of more in, data. We'll dwell into that. But any early thoughts on the captaincy?
So one thing, I'm going to play the con factor, or you know, the devil's advocate, just so that no one can come back and say, "Hey, you pushed us towards Brighton midfield." Right?
Yes.
One is, even if you go Brighton, and Brighton makes sense, right? Primarily because they have one home game against Palace, and they have away against Leeds. Generally, Leeds play a lot of attacking football at home, which gives opportunities to opposition to, you know, counter them and score goals, right? So, fixture-wise, I am completely convinced that Brighton is the better choice. Brentford have two away games. Everton, at least, I feel, is a difficult one. Arsenal lost there. I'm going to use it as a benchmark. So, you never know, right? So, with Southampton away also, you never know. And I've also found that with Brentford, Tony is the only captaincy option, right? That's a pro that you know who's the guy who's going to score goals. But the con is he's never consistent, right? He misses scoring against easy teams. He scores against teams like Arsenal, Chelsea, right? And you never know when to captain, right? He keeps, you know, he goes on breaks for 2-3 matches, then suddenly scores a 15-pointer in one match and again goes on break, right? So if you look at his returns while he's the third highest forward, there's no consistency like Haaland or Kane, right? And that is very important for you to go and put some a captaincy chip on someone, right? So taking Tony out of factor, now you know that you want to go to Brighton midfielder, right? Who do you go for? Right? We just spoke about the last slide, right? Where we said these are the three people. We don't know who we want to select even to. Now, from selecting them, you want, you know, out of that three, you went for two. Now you want to say, out of these two, I want to captain one. Who will you captain? Who's the right answer? Right. And
nobody.
That for me is a, exactly, right. It's a very risky move. You might have one match where Mitoma gives you 10 points. You might have one match where March gives you 10 points, right? And you have your captain on McAllister waiting for that penalty to come, right? And And for me, the biggest con of this is, you know, there is no standout option. It looks like, you know, it's very easy for you to choose Tony. It's very easy for you to choose March or Mitoma. I don't think there is any standout option here. And that's why I want to, you know, go back and tell you, look at the fixtures, right? You have
yes.
you have United players.
There are six right, options.
There are a lot of options. You have a United players who are pissed after. We have still not spoken about the fixture. Okay, out of respect to you guys, we have still not spoken about the fixture. But these are players, right, who are playing for the third best team in the league and who are really pissed. And they're going to play Southampton, the same Southampton at home, at Old Trafford, right? And you have a player on form, Rashford. You are ignoring him for these guys, right? You have a player who just gave you 20-plus pointer and you're crying about, you know, my wildcard failed just because of him. And he's one of the best goal scorers in Premier League history. Salah is going to play Bournemouth away, right? You are ignoring him, right? So there are multiple options. And there is Kane also, who has a good fixture.
I was going to mention. Yeah, that's one of the reasoning, you know, the reason I wanted to put this, you know, stats out here is to take this discussion into the next level. You know, it's let's not the double game week cloud your eyes. You know, there are still a pretty good amount of single game week players whom you can captain. This is basically to dissect between double game weekers how the things look like. But what is your risk appetite? How much are you ready to weather? You know, if you're ready to stomach the risk, go for, you know, pick. If you have a crystal ball which says this particular Brighton midfielder is going to be the top scorer, go for it. But otherwise, you know, there are plenty of single game weekers out there, you know, which are equally good. Sankalp, you pointed out one important factor, the hunger for Manchester United. They have a point to prove. They have, you know, they want to make a statement. They might come back to, you know, have a big win against Southampton. Yeah, these are pretty good reasonings.
And Liverpool are also now chasing top four. Let's not forget, right? With Spurs,
yes,
slightly struggling. Liverpool are almost there. They are not far away. They have played less fixtures than Spurs. And if they continue winning, they are definitely going to get into top four because Spurs are not consistent at all, right? So these are strong, logical, you know, reasons why you should look at these players, right? If I knew for sure, you know, Brighton had a player like Brentford has Tony, right? Who is the ultimate end point, right? If Brighton had such a guy, I would have liked to go there, right? People are going to say Ferguson. Again, we don't know who plays up front, right? So you might have one match where Ferguson plays, one match Danny Welbeck plays, right? From a risk point of view, I do feel, you know, my gut says Mitoma is the least, you know, risky guy. I feel that he'll get involved in He'll give you something, right? I find he's the guy that if I definitely have to go there, I'll go there. But I just can't look beyond Rashford, right? You know, any other game week, if we did not have doubles with this fixture, I think all three of us would have gone Rashford, right? With this fixture, right? So why am I changing my mind?
Just quickly summarizing. I think I kind of agree what Sankalp is saying. I think there are a lot of other players, like he said. I mean, Salah, if you have Salah, he's an option. Nunes, Gakpo, all in the same category of box. United, you have Rashford and Fernandes. Luke Shaw, outside shout. Three, you have. Then you have Kane. Then you have Saka and Odegaard. Don't forget them, obviously. They are at the top of the league. Again, you're all forgetting Haaland. Although Crystal Palace bogey team and they struggle, Man City struggle and all, but he's still a player people fear this season, right? You have so many options.
He scored a hat-trick against them at home.
I was about to mention the reverse picture, he scored 17.
Now, we come to these two sides, Brighton and Brentford, who are playing well this season. No doubt. They're playing well. If I see these four teams they're playing, when Brighton's playing Leeds, away Palace, home, and Brentford is playing Everton and Southampton, both games away, all these four teams can all of a sudden start defending well in a game. Leeds are now under Javi Gracia. Obviously, Palace are managed by Vieira. Everton, Sean Dyche, no doubt. Southampton, yes, bit, but they have been defending well. So these all the four teams, all of a sudden, all of their defenders could become Maldini, and you know, things won't go your way. We all don't know what will happen. So, but again, Tony is someone, but what happens is we are the same managers who captained Josh King and Emmanuel Dennis sometime last season just because of a double game week. And mathematically, two is greater than one. So they play two fixtures. These teams play one fixture. And people will run to that side. We all wildcarded to get in so many players. Now, after wildcarding, getting in nearly 4, 5, 6 doublers now. And then you say, oh, the good captaincy option is player from a single game week. What will you think at this point?
Yeah, I mean, see, there's another, you know, outside chance or a caveat I want to throw into the discussion. So there is a very, very minimal chance of weather impacting the Everton-Brentford game. So it is pretty snowy in Everton currently, but it's 0.001 chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but just want to throw that caveat. Yep.
Keep an eye out. Because if one fixture goes away from these teams, right, they are no longer the standout option, at least for captains.
Exactly.
So keep an eye.
Exactly. All right. Shall we start taking questions? I think that's pretty much what we have for captaincy.
So what's the final answer?
I mean,
Who are you, best captain? I'm going
for a single captain. Yeah, I'm. You'll see my bus team. Right. Currently, okay. it is on. Shortly, you'll see it is currently on Kane. It'll be between Kane or Rashford. So, yeah, that's going to be. I'm going on a single game. This is to Aditya's point. This is basically to summarize and bring this discussion together. You know, if you have the risk appetite, or if you still feel you know two is greater than one, and you want to go. Towards a Brighton midfielder, you have a crystal ball, go for it. You know, pick the right one. We wish good luck for that. Otherwise, Tony is a decent option. But if you ask me, it is more than enough to have these players. You already have a good amount of players. You have a couple of Brighton midfielders, a couple of Brentford defense. You have Tony. You have good amount of players who basically cover the double game weeks. You need not, you know, overdo that by captaining as well. And if things go wrong, it's going to be catastrophic. You know, rather split the risk, have it on a good single game week player who's solid, who has in form, the team is being in form, and all that good stuff. You know, so spread that risk out and play it on a single game week player. That would be my take as well.
And where is the captaincy chip for Aditya? Right? Who are you going with?
We'll see the bus team. That is the bus team will give you the bus answer.
All right. Let's go with the bus teams then.
Okay. Before we go there, let's just have a look at the questions. Maybe you know before we start.
Okay. Yeah. Let's take a look at questions once again. Aditya, you want a pin? Okay, go ahead.
Have all the chips. Can you help me, guys, with your the chip strategy? I think last week we really covered it in detail. I don't think answers have changed that much, right? The best weeks for wildcard remains. Last week was one. You did not do it. So either you do it now with a target for bench boost in 29, or else you do it in 29. There are some people who are doing it 29. Or else you can delay it till, say, 32 or 33, you know, and then bench boost in 34, right? Now, free it is something which is purely your team dependent, right? You can attack the blank fixtures or you can attack the mini doubles, you know, depending on where you want to swing, right? Free it something. As a chip, I'd feel like you can use it anywhere, depending on what's your style of play.
All right. Let's go for the next question. What do you guys think about using Lucius forward slot for someone like Johnson? See, I'm not going to lie. Last week, I did consider Johnson. You know, he has a pretty good double game week in 29, if I'm not wrong. And he also has a fixture in 28 as well. I'm not quite sure. But he did come out with a double-digit return in last game week. I think I should have gone ahead with my gut. But yeah, decent option. But don't expect, set your expectations right. I would say that much, you know. He's not kind of a striker who's going to score you week in, week out kind of a thing. But good to play in and around this blank and double game weeks period. Forest has been playing good at home, particularly. So that's one aspect to consider.
The fixtures turn for them very strongly, you know. So once they close out these doubles, right? I think from 31 onwards, they have United, they have Liverpool, they have Brighton. So if you're going there, it's a short-term move, right? Go with a point to attack the doubles and then plan to move out.
For the reason I can't get in 20. Visa and Vuvo have alternatives. Ah, that's an interesting one. How about a Welbeck?
But see, Tony is going to go out. Regardless, I think we know by 29, he should not be available, right? He should be facing some sort of ban. Again, should be, right? There can be further delays by FA, but we are expecting them to move out, right? Where do you expect those points to go? Who will score for them?
Brentford? You transfer Tony out. That's it. And don't expect the points.
No, Brentford, it's if Tony is not there, it's Mbeumo. Mbeumo is going to be the single focal point. That's how they have played. You know, they have tried him in a couple of positions last season as well, this season as well. So if he's not there, it's Mbeumo. So, Visa is still kind of a impact sub that they bring in, you know, in an odd game and try to change things up, that kind of a thing. But Mbeumo is definitely a pretty good shout. If you're short of funds, go for Mbeumo. Welbeck is a wild punt that I just throw there. He's still not a regular. So don't take my word as a, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think Mbeumo is the option. No doubt.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Guys, just one. This last one, just quickly, I think we just clarified.
Can I play a bench boost right after playing free hit? Sorry.
You can?
Yeah, you can. Okay.
It's just that the team will change, right? The team goes back to your original team and you're supposed to bench boost out of your original team. Just remember that. Don't expect the free hit team to be there next week for you to bench boost.
So. Right. Any other questions, Aditya? Should we move to... Okay, let's go ahead with the bus teams. Sankalp.
Yeah. I have made one change so far. I've sold Grealish for Mitoma. I want to make a second change. Most probably, I'll be selling Hakpo. I've missed out his points. Right? So, I'm going to sell Hakpo. And I think 95% I'm going March. And I'm not going Macalister, primarily because I feel Mitoma and March are two long-term assets. In case I have to hold them, I'll still be okay holding them, right? These are the two moves. Captain for me is Rashford. Set and forget.
All right. Fantastic. Let's go ahead with my team. So, I'm pretty much not going to make any changes. Of course, coming back of a wildcard. Captaincy, again, it's going to be either Kane or Rashford. So that's going to be the mix, and the vice captain would be Antony, of course. That's the ideal choice that I have. Yeah, that's pretty much straightforward. And what about Aditya? Ah, there he goes. One double gimmick captain, at least for the sake of discussion.
Yeah, so this is again bus team, right? So this is just set up like, oh my god, there's a double gimmick player. Okay. Here goes the Amber. So yeah, I've not really had time to think about it. Obviously, now we have discussed that, I'm going to think and then I'm going to decide. But obviously, we have lot of enticing single game week players, obviously. And I'm benching two good players. Right, Odegaard and Zinchenko.
And three, four. Are you playing the bench boost this week?
No.
Just remember this answer. You never know. This week's return might be higher than that of game week 29.
Let's see. I mean, last week, very much said, right? So, yeah, I mean, Odegaard and Zinchenko would end up outscoring Mitoma in March also. So, we'll see. I don't know. So, let's see. Bench boost, I'm not totally convinced now. I mean, obviously, we're looking at Game Week 29 being as the biggest double game week this season, and everybody's looking there. But it's like, again, you have 29 is after an international break, and that fear will again drive you to use a bench boost now here and there. So I've not thought about the bench boost and the captaincy. I'll be straightforward. But bus team, here you go. Here's the bus team. Twitter template, draft, whatever you want to call. That's it. I've just got in Henry instead of Pinnock. And even the template Pinnock also scored. So I can't, you know. Even if you try to make one different player, hey, I don't know why this is so weird this season.
But one thing, I have a similar issue where, you know, currently I was thinking of benching Odegaard, but most probably I feel like I have to play Odegaard. I'm going to bench one of the forwards. So for me, I think I'm going to bench Watkins. I know people will find it difficult to bench Haaland, right? If you're benching Haaland, why don't you sell him and get someone else? But I somehow internally, I do feel, you know, Odegaard has a stronger floor, at least. Not a stronger ceiling. Obviously, you know, Haaland's ceiling is always top-notch. But I feel the floor with Odegaard is somehow a bit higher than Haaland. Can go either way, but at least for me, it's easier because I have Watkins, right? I'm like, okay, I can bench Watkins for Odegaard. And Fulham do concede a lot of chances from the central areas, right? And that's one more reason why Odegaard is someone you should think about before you bench.
Right. Okay, we have one final question. That's, I think, would you sell Ederson to Raya for a hit?
Ederson to Raya. Ederson. Yeah, I generally don't, you know, do goalkeeper transfers. You know, I consider that as a pretty luxury move. But given Ederson has a blank next game week, probably, you know, take advantage of three fixtures. 4-1 in that sort of a contest, yes, why not?
I will not do it. I mean, it looks too good to be true, primarily because I feel all the doubles are away fixtures for them, right? This week they have Southampton and Everton. I feel like they might have one clean sheet, right? Next week they play Leicester at home. I don't see it as a clean sheet fixture. I see both teams scoring, right? And then the week after, they play Brighton and United, both away matches. And United, again, there will be a revenge factor, right? There's that 4-0 in their mind, right? So, I don't think there's a lot of, you know, movement out of it. It makes sense to sell Ederson. I'll just look at a different player, perhaps. Like someone like Steele, right? He's 4 million and you can bench him also after this, right? I'll bring in a Steele. His fixtures are better. And because it's 4 million, you will not bother also. Again, you'll have that, you know, one playing goalkeeper and one 4 million player on the bench. At least, unless,
What about the blank?
Yeah. That's what my point was. Who is your second goalkeeper, right? If your second goalkeeper is playing next week, then it is easier for you to bring one of these guys. Right, be Raya. And if he's looking at Raya, so I'm assuming he would have someone playing next week.
Alright. Yep, that's pretty much the end of this particular episode. I hope we have answered all your questions. I see Surya actively answering in the comment section as well. So, great guys. Thanks for joining in, and do consider supporting us. You know, keep subscribing, keep liking, keep sharing the content, and please shove it in your comments, any feedback. That is much appreciated. But otherwise, we'll see you on the other side of the next game week. So thanks Aditya and Sankar. Good luck to you guys, and good luck everyone. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Bye.